News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:07 on Mobile Mornings, and a lot of things in the news to get to, including the passing of Ozzy Osbourne, 76, and he recently played a 10-hour show. Now, I don't think he was on stage for 10 hours, but it was one of these long festival shows in Birmingham, England.
That's Birmingham to you.
That's Birmingham. July the 5th, not that long ago. And I guess a lot of people, a lot of fans, and even maybe some of these guests that were part of the lineup, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Jack Black, Steven Tyler, maybe they were aware this was going to be the last run for Ozzy, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so did the fans. And we talked about that show afterwards because that was a big music weekend, Independence Day weekend. Although I know they weren't celebrating that in Birmingham,
no,
like they were in Birmingham. But you had the Ozzy final show. You had at the Wharf, the 3-day Red Clay Strays extravaganza with so many artists from Mobile, so locally that means a lot to us. But you also had the reunification of the band Oasis, which was a big deal that weekend. But it kind of had that overall, I wouldn't say Paul, but overall feeling in the air that, yeah, this is it for Ozzy. But I don't know if people expected him to then pass away 17 days later. And, you know, Ozzy did play here in Mobile. And Leanna, posting this yesterday, Ozzy played Mobile. Osbourne performed in Mobile, Alabama in November 1978 as part of Black Sabbath's Never Say Die tour. Now, I believe this was 2 years before he was kicked out of Black Sabbath, and that's a funny but fitting story for Ozzy. He fell asleep in a Nashville hotel room, I think it was 1980, and just completely slept through one of their shows. And they said, you know what? Enough's enough. Of course, he went on to do and actually sell a lot more albums as Ozzy Osbourne rather than along with Black Sabbath, though they would reunite several times again over the years, especially at Ozfest. But Leanna continued here. Specifically, the concert took place November 14th, 1978, at the Mobile Municipal Arena, and Van Halen was the opening act for the show. The tour was significant because it was the last full tour featuring Ozzy Osbourne with Black Sabbath until the band's reunion for Ozfest in 1997. And she even included a picture of Ozzy performing in Mobile that night. But what was striking to me about all of this are how many people saw this post, shared this post, liked this post, and the comments are just incredible, including our friend John Sharp. Said amazing, and with Van Halen as the opener. I mean, can you imagine 78 seeing Van Halen open for Black Sabbath? And oh yeah, it's here in Mobile. And many of you don't have to imagine. I mean, you were there, as made clear by the comments here. David said, "I'm not ashamed to admit that I was there and don't remember much." Lamar he included a picture with his post here. It said, "Ozzy saw me with my camera at that concert in Mobile, bent down under all the waving hands and crooked his finger like, 'Come here,' until I could get the shot. A true gent." Nick said here,
That's a great story.
And I'd love to know the exact details of this, and many of you might have it. You can let us know on the text line. Nick, because there was a good discussion here. Nick said, "And then Mobile old money put the hex on concerts by unscrupulous activities, and that was the beginning of the end of the Civic Center." Now, that would have been a beginning of a very long end, obviously. But David said, "That was part of it. Another part was the opening of the venues in Biloxi and Pensacola. Acts could book those two venues, each one getting their own local attendance, plus enough of Mobile's metro area to make the Civic Center irrelevant."
Squeezed out.
And said, "If the city of Mobile wants to get a Taylor Swift or other mega events, they better build a really large Sin Palace." So people tying in the casinos into trying to bring big acts back then. You had Jason, let's see, more discussion about that. Randy said, "That's not exactly true on how it went down. Sometimes you just need to move on." Linda said, "In the late 70s, ELO opened for them." I don't know if that was also here in Mobile or not. Eddie said, "In September of 72, so maybe Black Sabbath performed 6 years earlier than that, too, here in Mobile, said, I saw Black Sabbath. The opening band was Gentle Giant. I had a late lunch at the Pillars before the show.
Wow.
I mean, some of these memories are just fantastic to look back at.
What a recollection.
Lori said, I was there back when Mobile had rock and roll culture. Great show. Let's see. Hal here posted his ticket stub torn in half from that show.
Pretty cool.
And now it's tough to post ticket stubs. You have to get a screenshot of your of your digital ticket on your phone, which doesn't kind of carry that same weight as having the stub in hand that you had in your pocket for that. I still have movie theater ticket stubs, which I guess you still – I don't even know if you still get those nowadays. But
I don't know.
Some of those movies you try to – I don't know why we did that. Why did we hold all these movie theater stubs? But the concert things makes perfect sense to me.
I love the one comment there. You remember – we've often heard someone say, I remember this and I so clearly, and I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday, right? Well, in the one comment, they talked about 1972 and going to lunch. They didn't say what they had, but they probably can remember.
I should ask that on the Facebook comment.
When people say, I remember that show from 72, but I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday, where they're giving you everything. They're giving you what they had for lunch, where they ate lunch, and then where they sat at the concert.
Well, and that's the thing about massive, not even massive, but just musicians and bands that mean so much to you. You associate your own life and your own life's memories with that band. And if you watch that final performance, which even if you're not the biggest Ozzy fan or whatever, if you watch his final performance, which was the last song at that event in Birmingham earlier this month, Mama, I'm Coming Home, and they pan around the crowd, and it's just something to see all of the emotions going through people.
Sure.
And I'm sure some people on their face would go, man, they must really love Ozzy. Well, they do, but I'm sure those people are thinking about listening to that song wherever they were when they first heard it or heard it over and over and over again and what they were going through in their life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It just, that's why music means so much, right?
And you're absolutely right.
And then Ozzy, for him to be around generation after generation and then to really put celebrity reality TV on the map, and I can't think of a better celebrity reality show than The Osbournes, because it was as real as I guess you can get, even though it was still probably fake reality TV and they put them up to stuff. But nowadays, reality TV has gone so far over the edge that you don't believe anything. I believe when you're watching that, you think you're going to watch the Prince of Darkness and expect him to be what the Prince of Darkness would be. Instead, you see this dad, and so many of us know that dad life, but just kind of bumbling around, not really knowing, how does this work over here in the kitchen?
Yeah.
And Jack, would you just shut up for a little bit? I'm trying to.
He pulled the curtain back and allowed people to. I think it became very endearing.
That's the word I wanted to use.
So I guess it was only 3 or 4 seasons.
They went from 02 to 05.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Because the impact was phenomenal, because it just introduced him to a whole, it introduced him in a new way to his fans, and then it introduced him to a brand new group of people, who then checked out the music and all of it. They were actually entertained and fascinated by the man himself.
Yeah.
And of course, he didn't look like... He did not look like a button-down banker in a lot of those scenes. So he allowed himself to look foolish at times, but it just made people love him more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he had children in his first marriage, I think 3 children.
He did, yeah.
And he had 3, I believe, with Sharon. Now, just Jack and...
Amy?
Jack and... Not Amy. Oh, my God. Yeah, I just had it, and then you threw Amy in there.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, so his daughter. What is it, Liam?
Kelly,
thank you.
Kelly.
Good Lord. So Jack and Kelly were, of course, on there. They had a third daughter, and she didn't want to be involved, so she wasn't on camera
or
anything like that.
Kelly was in it. Amy was not.
Yeah, and Kelly, of course, moved on, and she kept doing the reality TV thing and doing shows like The View and stuff like that. But yeah, what a fascinating life.
Sharon did The View for years.
Yep. And she was, you know, the daughter of his manager. So when he when his career really hit the skids and he was kicked out of Black Sabbath and kind of moping around, she went to his hotel room, and I believe he had stolen money from her to buy drugs. And she went and kind of got him to snap out of it and said, I'm going to manage you now. And she and her dad had a massive falling out after that, and they never really got made that relationship right, from what I understand. So what an incredible career and an incredible life. And
how about these numbers? 100 million albums sold worldwide. That's Ozzy on his own and with Black Sabbath. 100 million albums.
It's crazy.
And then, and he had Black Sabbath. And, well, did they do a whole lot after him? Anyway, they sold, maybe Ozzy and Black Sabbath together sold 70,000 albums. So and big impact.
To come back with Crazy Train as a solo act with his own band.
Yeah.
And then many of those own band members, of course, going on to do great things as well.
Yeah.
And now Crazy Train, probably one of the most well-known songs, certainly in sport worldwide, but really overall worldwide. Your thoughts? Maybe you went to that show, 251-343-0106.
I wonder if Leanna had any idea that the response on that Facebook post would be so huge and heartfelt. And so many memories from that night. That's amazing.
It really is. And you have people saying where they were and where they saw Black Sabbath back in the day. This Facebook commenter, all of the best bands used to come to Mobile. And then there was a ticket scandal back in the 80s, and nobody came to Mobile anymore. Instead, they went to Pensacola or Biloxi.
So. I never got down and dirty with all that. I know some people serve time, and the narrative is that the scandal happened. People were crooked, went to jail, and that, you know, probably people are still in the community right now. So I don't, these are names before my time here. And then it spoiled the pot. Like the Mobile became kind of like off limits.
Mm-hmm. Kind of blacklisted.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, that how much of that is completely true? I don't know.
Jason said, shouldn't we all think twice about celebrating the life of a guy that embraced being called the Prince of Darkness? No, I don't think, I don't really think twice about talking about anything on this radio program. I mean, he definitely, you know, did every drug in the book. I don't recommend that. Do I need to say that out loud? I don't recommend you do Klonopin and all. He said he was hooked on glue for a long time. Don't do that. And it's funny how his career kind of began. You know, he grew up in a really poor household and tried the criminal way of life. And I believe, so he got locked up. His dad didn't bail him out. So I think he spent 3 months in jail before his musical career began. And I don't know if it was just a rumor or what, but he might have even told this story himself, that when he robbed a house, he wore gloves, but they were fingerless gloves. He was robbing this house.
Not the brightest criminal out there.
Yeah, I saw, as he met his hero, Paul McCartney, pretty late in his life. He said the Beatles are what got him into music.
Sure.
And that's what McCartney brought up, was, how about when you robbed that house with those fingerless gloves? And I think Ozzy went, yeah, that sounds just about like me. Yeah. Pretty funny.
Great impact. And you know, when you get into rock and roll, certainly any kind of entertainment, you're going to have you're going to have things like the Prince of Darkness. Is, you know, not everything is the Karen Carpenter and Richard Carpenter. That's not the taste that everybody wants all the time. Somebody just want some head banging rock and roll. And that's it.
And as he said, and he really did take on the life of that character, but he said he was playing a character in Black Sabbath.
Exactly.
And the band actually started out as a blues band when they all got together. They weren't getting any play there. And one of them in Black Sabbath, I don't know if it was Iommi or who, said, you know, people pay good money to go watch horror movies in theaters. Why can't we just be that kind of a band? And seemed to work out pretty well for him.
Alice Cooper the same way, right? Off stage, seemed like a pretty normal dude.
Yeah.
On stage, kind of that Prince of Darkness thing, right?
In many ways, not all the ways, but in many ways, metal band dudes, kind of more like a normal guy away from the stage than a lot of these pop stars when they're away from the stage.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. You might have something there. 821 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. If you want to call, you can do that or text 251-343-0106.
And we're going to talk a little parking in downtown, speaking of all this Civic Center talk.
from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 826, so Mobile Mornings. Headed downtown, St. Louis Street. So the closest I've gotten to finding the artist renderings of the renovations that are going to happen on St. Louis Street over the next 2 years is a picture in 1819 News of a group of people looking at the renderings on a table. So that's as close as I can get. But anyway, I'm down there a good bit. Well, not a good bit, but St. Louis is one of those bigger boulevards, Dalton, that if you're going to do something with one of the streets downtown, they've already done a great job on Broad Street, I got to say. And then you know, that's the street. Dolphin's a narrow street. It kind of is what it is. It's got the bars and restaurants and all. Just pave it and be done with it. And that's what they do with Dolphin. But St. Louis Street is a broader kind of boulevard. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're going to look to try and just clean it up, take advantage of that. And it could be another street that's downtown that looks pretty cool.
You know, there is a really good city resource, the website. And while I'm not seeing full renderings of the entire 17-block project, mapformobile.org, you can kind of click through that and look at different citywide planning, neighborhood planning, and then they have each project actually listed there.
Where's it? Okay. All right.
Mapformobile.org.
Map for Mobile. All right.
And so they have a good video news story with Brendan Kirby, and there's some pretty good renderings there. But they have a lot more information on it and what it will kind of eventually look like. A lot more trees. So 77 trees will be on St. Louis Street once they've completed this. 47 of those will be new trees. And then you'll have over 1,000 shrubs along the way and over 1,000 ground cover plants, they say here. So they'll go block by block and I guess take 2.5 years. That's the plan to finish this thing. And I don't know. Yeah, it could look really good. Like you said, Broad Street's been looking pretty good. And they're working on the canal to Baker Street portion of Broad Street. But as downtown, I guess you could call it a facelift, right? They're doing a lot of different things. And closer to the interstate, obviously, you have the Civic Center project, the new arena, with a big parking garage there. But you have people wondering also on the other side of downtown what the parking is going to look like there once a new hotel goes in. Hotel Two Suites.
Yeah.
And
the hotel is going in an area where there's right now paid parking.
Yeah, big old parking lot there at St. Francis Street. And that's where I've parked a bunch of times. And so residents are saying, okay, that's taking a lot of parking out of the way once this hotel goes up. Locals say the lot offers key access to downtown bars, restaurants, and events. And a lot of people thinking, okay, Mardi Gras will be here. Parking is at a premium for Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
We're losing spots. Developers say the 5-story hotel will include its own private guest parking. City officials note there are roughly 7,000 parking spots downtown. But are those 7,000? If they say there's 7,000, there are probably 7,000. But are those spots, do they make it easy to access downtown?
No, that would be, I would say, if you're talking about Dolphin Street, they're not all centered around there. And that's another thing, a 5-story hotel, that's a pretty big hotel. That's a lot. Now, like, they're going to have parking for the people who are, you know, staying at the hotel. Yeah. I get that. That's a good-sized hotel, another very good-sized hotel. Do we need it, be my question. I guess studies show we do. It's 8:30.
From the Vascular Center, Mobile Traffic Center, Cottage Hill, Azaleum, Dolphin, Old Shell, and Springle in 65. You're seeing delays, no new wrecks in the roadways. State troopers are running radar across the Bayway and the Causeway. Westbound I-10, you've got heavier pockets of traffic, but nothing out of the ordinary. If you're one of the lucky ones that got a grant through the Strengthen Alabama Homes program for a new roof, now's the time to pick your contractor. Use who I did for my grant. Alliance Roofing, serving Mobile and Baldwin County for 29 years. Call 580-ROOF for Alliance Roofing. And I'm Kane with the FM Talk 106.5 Traffic.
8:34 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and it is a Wednesday. Right now, we're going to head to McConnell Automotive and have a conversation with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
A conversation. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good, and I know y'all talk a lot, have conversations there at McConnell about which ride you're going to scope out and go get at the auction block, or you have folks coming by and selling their car to you. That means a really good selection that changes by the day.
Oh, every day, man. We are trading in cars, buying cars. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we traded in a, you know, they call it a pawpaw special, a 2015 F-150 with 172,000 miles. Sorry about that. But got that. Got a 2020 AT4 yesterday with 76,000 miles. A 19 Silverado Z71 with 108. I mean, we got them trading in every day. We're buying them. Got to check that website out, McConnellAutomotive.com. You'll see all the cars. Even got some EVs in now, the new pickups. So you can check those out. Got some invoices on some 26 pickups yesterday. So we'll be having them coming in. So we got everything going on here.
Yeah, that's awesome. And in addition to the pre-owns, of course, you have all the new vehicles as well. Whether someone's looking for a Sierra, a Terrain, Acadia, you got it all.
That's right. AT4 Yukons, AT4 trucks. We got it all. 3/4 tons. Just come see us. McConnell Automotive.
And it sounds like a good time to do that today. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank y'all.
Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. They're on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65. And the website is McConnellAutomotive.com.
By the way, texture here, unnamed texture. Mobile had a lot of discussion about Mardi Gras Park back in 2007. A 20-story building was shovel-ready. Mobile ended up with a chain-link fence around it. Not exactly sure what it's all about.
And that's so CA was texting me. I wanted to get to his text earlier, and I apologize, CA, because he sent one at the end of last hour. Said, good morning, a hotel on Museum Drive, which was discussed not that long ago.
Yes.
A hotel in downtown. How long will it take for a backhoe to start digging? They're complaining about parking, said they can build another parking garage. A year from now, Mobile will have another meeting about this. So I think CA is getting his point is that, well, there are always a lot of plans made, and the shovel doesn't really go into the ground until much, much later. But, yeah, I mean, we see projects all the time over budget and out of timeline. You know, they end up pushing it back and back and back. I think the city has gotten better at especially trying to keep things kind of within the set budget range they started with. That's not to say that they always keep it within budget or even a majority of the time. I'd like to see their stats on that. But it just takes time, especially when they make an announcement and then residents start to speak out, like they are here with this proposed hotel on St. Francis Street. You take new information into account, and then you either disregard it, which we see often, or you say, hey, maybe this would be a problem. And that would be the city saying, hey, maybe this would be a problem. We need to kind of pump the brakes. And then you get appeals and you get, you know, city council members who in many cases have to listen more to their constituents than the overall city, because each person has to depend on a certain number of votes from their community. And so city council often will put the brakes on things. And while the city wants to push, there always ends up being roadblocks. But yeah, I see what you mean. They it happens everywhere though, not just here in Mobile, where they say, hey, we're planning on doing this, and then you don't see work on it for several years. Texture here says, I live in downtown Mobile.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at right now, yeah.
Off of Dauphin Street. The city has declared war on local downtown residents. They're taking the one-way streets, turning them into two-way, which eliminates street parking. The paid parking spots you can only keep for 2 hours at a time, if they are open at all during Mardi Gras. They won't even let you park in a paid parking spot and or free spots down here on the street for 2 hours before or after the parade. Of course, yeah, I know so many of you that, you know, leave your house for long stretches during Mardi Gras because of the whole parking situation. Said, we have parked on the street down here for decades. Since it doesn't rain a lot in the city, I guess I should park at the RSA Tower in the parking garage and just walk 15 blocks every day to my house, so a guy walking down St. Louis can enjoy the new flowers, correct? That's an issue. But it's also strange because the city desperately wants people not to just visit downtown Mobile, but have a larger community, have more people living downtown.
I've heard that all of the available rental space, there's a few buildings north of downtown, including the one closer to the river. There's that apartment or condo on Water Street, you know, that's on the east side of Water Street, And I don't know anybody that lives there, but I've been told that it's been a success. There's also another either condos or apartments not far from there on the west side of Water Street. Used to be some sort of an industrial or office building, is now condos. And I've been told that these are all sold out. I don't know if that's right or not. You've got Greer's down there, so there's your opportunity to shop for your groceries and all
that. As long as no one's setting fire to it.
As long as that guy, keep him locked up. So I don't know the success of all of these developments, if they are indeed, you know, nothing's going to stay sold out forever. Mm-hmm. You had also the bank building was, our guy can tell us more about that. Mobile Moon Pie Minute.
Mm-hmm. Steve McNair.
He was one of the developers of what was at one time the Regions Bank, that building on the corner of, near Bienville, and that is now residence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be, I don't know how many stories that is. If that's all filled up, that's a lot of people.
You just pointed to quite a few that I wasn't even thinking about.
Yeah.
So, and Rock and Roll Doctor says, how's that mixed retail / residential / waterfront development doing? Just north of the convention center. Dan and I ask about that. Well, we ask each other, so we don't really get any answers, but we ask each other about that every couple of months because that seems like a really cool idea. I don't think that they've said that that's not going to happen.
What are we talking about now? The what?
North of the convention center, the waterfront hotel.
Oh, yeah.
The portfront hotel, I guess you could call it.
I think that's coming. I mean, they just haven't broken ground, you know, or... But I, you know, we've seen the renderings of that. It looks really cool.
And then you do have that parking garage at the soon-to-be Civic Center Arena, or I can't remember what we're officially calling it now. But that's a haul. That's not exactly easy downtown parking right there, if that's the case. 251-343-0106. Let's go to the text line and talk with, and I think I saw him posting about this online recently, Fred, talking annexation. Hey, Fred.
Hey.
Freddy.
It's been 2 years.
2 years since the annexation vote.
I missed you desperately over this time.
Well, he's in now. So, you were talking about how things haven't really changed, right? Except for, in your opinion, some good things.
Yeah, and, you know, I look at what's happening around the city overall, not just West Mobile, but if you look at the asphalt that's going down on the different streets and the paving that's being done, those areas, the improvements that's happening to the park system, and there's a lot of moving parts, Mobile, going on right now. I mean, there's a lot of good, and to our benefit, we've got our EMS coverage is stabilized, police coverage has been excellent, Mobile Fire and Rescue is top drawer. So I mean, there's a lot of good things going on in the city, and you know, it's like the pothole thing that come up recently. Everybody talking about all the potholes. Well, I'm sorry, but when you're dealing with that much area, that there are some things that take time to get to. And it's like the project you were just talking about on the waterfront. It takes time to develop the plans. And then I see a lot of developers out west have kind of pulled back a little bit because of prices.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's got a little bit to do with some timing around this stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point too that I wasn't really thinking about. You know, our developers thinking about the cost of,
well, when you get a big announcement that this is coming, it's almost like, well, can you give us an update? Or if it's tied up because of costs or whatever, you would expect
someone to say that.
Yeah. So that's you know, because it was a big announcement.
Freddie, you always have a project in the works, and I'd say you were pushing this annexation thing as hard as anyone. And there were people that weren't in that district, in that area, but do live in the city of Mobile, who weren't too fired up about it because they did think that maybe it would draw resources out of the rest of the city, that certainly places need some work. But what do you have in the works now? Are you trying to push for anything new, Freddie? Any new movements in West Mobile you're going for?
Well, about West Mobile, but in the state of Alabama, I'm trying to take and move motorcycle safety program in under the Department of Education for the state, which is problematic now considering what's happened federally. But the state does a really poor job at motorcycle safety education and getting motorcyclists trained overall. So I've been working with the state legislators and trying to work that area, and it's something I think we really need considering the number of motorcycle deaths.
Yeah.
And it was really irritating that they put in a shark alert system for somebody that got attacked by a shark in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that people die every day on motorcycles due to driver inattention or whatever, so I think it would be better spent if they put their efforts into that.
What kind of safeguards would you want around that, though? And you know, because there are plenty of motorcycles, and I used to, you know, I did a lot of dirt bike riding, but my dad was always on a motorcycle through most of my childhood, and there's responsible folks on motorcycles, but then you see some that fly behind you at 110, 120, and zoom right through on the median line. I mean, what kind of safeguards would you look for the state to put in place?
Well, first of all, I would encourage them to take and add skills testing as part of the licensure requirements. Right now, you don't have to take and prove you can ride a motorcycle to get on one.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And 14, is that? Yeah, 14 is still the
14.
Age. Yeah.
So there's no skills test to... So if you have a driver's license, you're good to go to just purchase a motorcycle and hop
no,
on?
No, you have to get a motorcycle driver's license.
Okay.
But yeah, and you can do it as early as 14.
Yeah, all you got to take is a written test.
Okay.
No skills test at all.
And that's,
get in a car, you have to take a skills test.
So what,
get in a truck.
Yeah, sure. Well, so one of your changes is that you would like to see that there is a skills test given to legally operate a motorcycle?
Correct. Raise the age to 16, too.
Yeah, I didn't know it was 14.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
It's just ludicrous that you can expect a 14-year-old to get out in traffic and navigate traffic today, especially.
Good stuff, Freddie. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the 2-year anniversary of your annexation, and looking to see what comes next from Freddie in West Mobile.
Thanks, Freddie. Appreciate the call.
251-343-0106.
Freddie was not in the city, and he was pushing to be
annexed.
Part of the city, mm-hmm. Right? So he wasn't just politically involved with the movement. He was going
helping to lead it.
Right. He led it and was an outsider, became an insider.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Okay. I just want to make sure I had that down.
Yeah. Remember, he called us often.
Yes, he did.
Back then.
Well, sure. It happened.
251-343-0106. Texter here says, speed bumps. That would make things interesting. Hey, you want some, like, interstate speed bumps for the motorcyclists? Is that what you're... and, he, you know, he said, well, there needs to be a driving test for folks on motorcycles. You know, there's a driving test to get a regular driver's license, and you wouldn't know it looking at a lot of the people and how they drive around here. I mean, dear Lord, I've seen some of the most insane driving. I don't know if it's certain, you know, we used to have a lot of talk around here. We were like, there were people in the back going, you know, Jupiter's in retrograde or whatever, Mercury's in retrograde, so mm-hmm. things are about to get a little wild.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have nurses and doctors who go, oh, full moon, hospital's going to be popping tonight. Is there like
there's
a
people that swear by the full moon thing, by the way?
I think stats kind of bear that out.
Yeah, they do. The stats do bear it out.
But I mean, when I wish I knew when people were going to be driving at their most insane.
Who did we talk to recently? Maybe you and I. Maybe it was just a story, but a guy who was stopped in traffic. Was it? Maybe it was you.
Yeah. Maybe it was you. Are you talking about on the service road over here?
A motorcycle came right between you and the car coming. It was eastbound, westbound. A motorcycle.
I have seen that. That's pretty common, actually.
Squeezed right between mm-hmm. two vehicles going in different directions.
Yeah, right. That's through
pretty,
the median.
Pretty dangerous.
It is. You know, they've been doing that in L.A. forever. I think it's legal to pass in between cars when you're driving a motorcycle in L.A., or
really?
At least you used to be. I used to think about that a lot for some reason. Don't know why. David on the line now. Let's go to caller one. David in Mobile wants to talk the Maritime Museum. Hey, David.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Thank you, man.
I was downtown Monday and sell to the convention center and several places around that. Used to sell to the Mobile Maritime Museum. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, mm-hmm. Yes.
One of the string of pearls. And that's what the sign says on the street, Mobile Maritime Museum. But it says Gulf of Mexico. You think we need to change that to Gulf of America?
When did you go by that sign? Because I thought they said they were changing it just to the Maritime Museum of the Gulf, and yeah. They were taking off of Mexico and weren't putting on of America.
They put it's still Mexico.
Okay, well that it just did happen. I don't think they're trying to make any kind of a political statement. I would doubt that. I think they were just. And now with this, there's a Buffett element to the Maritime Museum coming soon. Isn't it like a Buffett exhibit?
Yeah, a whole exhibit and I think a bar on the roof. But I didn't realize that. I thought that they did make the sign change, David. So I hadn't been down there. It still says Maritime Museum of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
And another question about it. Don't you think we need to gut it from Mardi Gras? Because Civic Center, whatever they want to call it, being built, it's not going to be built in 2 years like they've been saying.
Well,
it's already a year and a half, 2 years behind.
Yeah, so you're saying what? We need to knock down the
Maritime
Museum?
No. Gut it inside and leave the floors the way it is and have
Mardi Gras
closer to small malls downtown.
I got you.
Mardi Gras.
I got you. Not a bad idea. Thank you, David. Thanks for the call.
I don't know.
But I think that with the Buffett thing, there may be renewed or new interest in going to that Maritime Museum.
Yeah. Got to wait and see how that plays out.
But for a number of years, when that place was open early on, there was not even ticket sales online.
Really?
Could not buy tickets online. It was just poorly managed.
I have not stepped foot.
No.
In there.
I don't think you missed much.
I think I will once the Buffett exhibit shows up there.
8:52, we'll talk with Jeff Poor on the way. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:54 on Mobile Mornings, wrapping it up.
Hit the text line, then we'll talk with Jeff. Texter here, it's called lane splitting. It is illegal in Alabama as far as the motorcycles. Splitting the lanes, can't get more direct than that. Jake says, Freddie can get over it. I'm tired of this nanny state BS. Your father should teach you how to ride and the responsibility of riding a bike. Also, no government test is going to slow down an idiot on a bike. I've been riding for 45 years. Yeah, Jake. I don't know of any government tests that do work, honestly. Maybe someone could point me to one. John says, are there going to be cheeseburgers on the Buffett thing? I would imagine that's a missed opportunity if they don't provide cheeseburgers at the bar on top of the Buffett exhibit at the Maritime Museum.
All right. He's already working on the menu.
I think they should call it something like Cheeseburger in Paradise. I don't know.
It's going to be an exhibit. It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be.
They're putting something on the roof.
They are.
That's the plan.
Okay.
From what I remember, right. I believe. 8:55, or maybe not the roof, maybe an upper level. I'm not sure. Maybe Jeff knows. Jeff Poor, his show coming up next. Jeff, what's going on?
Not much. I believe it's they're good. You know, easy chain of Margaritaville bars.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that the discussion about what to put there?
I haven't heard that. No, I don't believe that's it.
I think it'll be more like a Margaritaville kind of cantina, like a little small version of it near the exhibit.
Also, and Erica Thomas has done some stories about this. Jim Ziegler, of all people.
Yeah.
Margaritaville bar, Top Golf Museum, now Buffett exhibit. So
they're seeking
They wanted to do the bar up there, but they're going in a different direction.
Right, they're seeking it. They're not getting it.
Right.
Who you got coming on the show today, Jeff?
We'll kick it off here with Stephanie Holden-Smith of the Alabama Policy Institute and a discussion about income tax. It's going to be hard for Alabama to change its tax code. There's a reason it's been this way since the last century. Also on the program, Joey Clark, our Wednesday regular. And then we'll kick it, we'll wrap it up at the with Bradley J, my colleague at Breitbart News.
Yeah, Dan, we were talking earlier about In-N-Out wanting to move their business from
Cali
to Franklin, Tennessee. And Dan's like, man, I would just wish Bama could do that. But I think we're so far behind. And like you said, it's so difficult to make any of those major changes that benefit the states around us. Are we just kind of screwed on this?
Some of my texters are like, well, you just got to do the hard work, but there's so many special interests in those hallways trying to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot to change the way they set up the 1901 Constitution in a way to favor farmers. I mean, they dominated the state's politics then, And now here it is, 2025. What do you do 124 years later? You got to go in and fix that. But the everyone knows how to play the game. Everyone knows how to manipulate the system. And it would be really hard just to get something that is pure.
Your thoughts?
Yeah.
Finally seeing a poll here, Senate poll. Now, it's an internal poll that you at 1819 News pulled up. But Marshall, 35%. Barrymore, 12%. Hudson, 9%. But 44% undecided of likely Republicans.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it is. I would suspect once Congressman Moore gets in the race, he'll get a bump, and that number will tighten a whole lot. And right now, 44% undecided. We got a long way to go. And then Hudson's got a lot of work to do. He's got to get around the state to raise his name ID. Probably a lot of your listeners have no idea who he is, and that's going to take some work on his part.
But if I saw the fundraising number, he's done pretty well, yeah. Right? Hudson, relatively well?
Relative for who he is. So Marshall had 400 grand. He had 200 grand, but for a relative unknown, that's a decent number.
Yeah.
All right. Music's playing. That means it's time for us to go, let you go, and let you prepare for the show. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right. Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. Keep it rolling for Jeff. John texting in, do you know what the Wharf is really missing? A Hard Rock Cafe. John says, I don't know if he's being serious or not, but we'll leave you with that, I guess.
That old John.